Belgian War Relief. Of course, this actually begins in 1914 with the British and the French, but will be expanded, much greatly expanded, 1915 through the end of the war, particularly here in the United States. Of course, Belgium is the subject of a great deal of discussion over just how much abuse the poor country took at the hands of the occupying German forces. I know the government of Germany, to some extent the high command, blamed the Belgians for costing them the war because they weren't supposed to put up a fight. The British and the French went to great lengths to talk about the mistreatment of the population and the horrors that were going on. There are actually several reports that were produced by various governments, one which is the Bryce Report, talking about the various atrocities that the Germans did. The Germans countered with a variety of pamphlets and whatever, saying that that really wasn't true, that the Belgians were being properly treated as occupied people. You know, even in the United States, there's a weekly pro-German newspaper called The Fatherland, which, of course, turns out to be funded by the German government years later. Of course, after the sinking of the Lusitania, it doesn't last very long in the country. They produced books and pamphlets claiming that the Bryce Report and all that was just propaganda made up by the British. But we do know for certain that, you know, the Germans were taking food and animals and all sorts of things from Belgium and taking them back to Germany. And this reaches such a point that some of the Belgian businessmen who were good friends with Kaiser Wilhelm came to the conclusion that if something wasn't done, some of their people would starve, if not a great deal of their people would starve. So they approached Kaiser Wilhelm, and he said, you know, they were willing to use their own money. They said, can we use our own money to buy food and coal and whatever it is to keep our get our people through the winter and feed them? And Kaiser Wilhelm said that they could if they bought from neutrals. And the idea was he wanted them to buy, of course, from the United States, hoping to show that that would be kind of a good side. So they came over here to buy grain and other things for the Belgian people. And the United States population, this became, until the U.S. enters the war in 1917, Belgium was our number one project. I mean, every community in the United States had a Belgian relief project. School children collected money, bought bonds, did all sorts of different things to help in this. They're kind of the cause celebre here in the U.S. And what was created is the Commission for the Relief in Belgium. It's called the CRB is what it is shortened to. And of course, future President Herbert Hoover is the one who's put in charge of this. And the whole idea, this is all voluntary. The idea was to try and feed 11 million Belgians between 1914 and 1919. So the CRB raised money. They obtained voluntary contributions of food. They shipped the food past German submarine blockades and was distributed in Belgium. And to show you how this is a fascinating side of this, because it's one thing to send the food over. It's one thing to see the food in the warehouses and things like that. But the quantity, the CRB, this Commission for the Relief of Belgium, shipped 697,116,000 pounds of flour to Belgium. And then they also sent sugar, and they also sent some other grains. Now, the part of this that's fascinating is what they were shipped in. The food was shipped in cotton bags, which were made here in the United States. And these bags were actually controlled by the CRB because cotton was in great demand. The Germans used it in manufacturing ammunition. And so they didn't want the Germans to take it and use it for that purpose. The other thing they were concerned about is that people would take the flour that the CRB sent in and take them out of Belgium, or take the empty sacks out of Belgium, fill them with inferior flour, and then resell it as relief flour. So one of the things that happens is all of the empty sacks are accounted for, and they're then distributed all over Belgium. Now, these flour sacks were used to make clothing. They were used to make accessories, bags, pillows, and all sorts of other things. Women would embroider over the mill logo. They painted, they stenciled on the fabric. They did all sorts of different things. And frequently, these bags were used, were embroidered and whatever, and with messages of thanks, and then embellished with lace, and the all sorts of symbols. You would find American Eagle symbols, the Belgian Lion symbols, American flags, the Belgian colors of red, yellow, and black, and all sorts of different things. And these sacks were then, the ones that got out that were embroidered and whatever, were used. They used them in the United States, they used them in Belgium, and they used them in England to raise more funds. And I know the Hoover Presidential Library, one of their great, what they consider some of their best items are these commemorative sacks, which in many cases were given to the Hoover Museum, to the library at the end of World War, some of them at the end of World War II, and some he was given prior to that. They were quite spectacular. So, but here in the United States, I mean, you can pick up newspapers from this era, 1915, and they'll show all sorts of things about doing Belgian relief. The propaganda posters in the United States, you see the horrors of Belgium, you know, with the silhouette of the big German with a teenage girl or a little girl heading off, and you know, so they really played up what we call the Rape of Belgium, because that is one of the features that really turns the propaganda and the people's point of view in the United States away from Germany. Germany was, to some extent, the war began, there was probably more pro-German feeling in the U.S., but the treatment of Belgium, then the Lusitania, and then other incidents that will occur just gradually grind us to the other position. And I know when I would teach World War I, and I would always talk about the Belgians, because we had some interesting examples here in the Midwest. You know, a lot of times the United States has given aid and all over the world. World War I, World War II, tsunamis, you name it, and all sorts of other stuff. And sometimes the complaint is that, you know, nobody ever thanks us and this sort of thing. Well, in 1993, here in the Midwest, here in the along the Missouri River, we had a very unusual rain events during the summer. We had the worst flooding in the Kansas City area and a lot of places on the Missouri River, up in the Iowa and Nebraska and across Missouri, and so even getting it into the Mississippi River there at St. Louis. Some of the worst flooding since 1952, which was the worst floods on record. And a lot of small towns were completely destroyed. And in the process of reconstruction, there was a town a little east of Kansas City. It's called Missouri Cities. And it was flooded completely out. And when they rebuilt the town, they had enough money to rebuild the school. And the school was K through 12. So they did kindergarten through 12th grade in the same building complex. And they even had students from the Kansas City Public School District who would go out there. It was considered a really neat situation. Unfortunately, when they put all the money together, they didn't have enough money to re-equip the library with books and computers. I believe it was $500,000. It's between $250,000 and $500,000 to do the thing right. Well, the Belgian government gave them a check for it, and at the when they did the donation, when they did a dedication of the library, the superintendent of schools there at Missouri Cities, he said, you know, I'm overwhelmed by this gift, But I just don't understand how in the world you even heard about us. And the Belgian ambassador, he said, you know, he said, you people fed my grandparents and everyone who's a descendant in Belgium who had a relative there. Your food and generosity saved us during World War One. And you are a very difficult people to say thank you to. And we've been waiting a long time. The Belgian government spent millions of dollars going up and down the Missouri River flood area of 1993 looking for small towns that they could give this aid to help them, stemming all the way back to what we ended up doing in World War One. And here in Kansas City, as a matter of fact, the area that I live in was an area very heavily settled by Belgian immigrants in the 1800s. And they still have some of the farmland and whatever. So, but the Belgium relief effort here in the United States, that was our big cause. But the way Belgium was treated is that's everywhere. I mean, there's a tremendous battle over that. You know, you actually have Clarence Darrow, who is the defense attorney in the Scopes monkey trial over evolution in the 1920s, and of course, founder of the American Civil Liberties Union. He offered $1,000 to anyone who could prove that anything in that Bryce report was factual. So there was, you know, we know Belgium was mistreated, but there is a little discussion that went back and forth at that particular time. But as far as we were concerned in the U.S., if the people couldn't feed themselves, that was Germany's fault. So I would highly recommend as a source for you to go to the Herbert Hoover Presidential Library and Museum. They have, I got a lot of my information on the flower and everything else. I was stunned at what we had ended up doing. But they have an enlargeable photo of one of the sacks, and they have some pictures of former President Hoover in 1941. With some of the Belgium sacks, and it's really fascinating, and it's also funny in that their library has, you can buy replica dishes of some of the presidential tableware. They're dessert dishes or cups and saucers. Well, you got $40 or $54. I think it's $40 for a plate and $54 for a cup and saucer. But it's pretty cool thing. The other sources for this are, of course, the War Cyclopedia of World War One and World War One by Strachan and any other book. I have the Bryce Report. I have the American versions of some of these here too. That on my World War One. According to Bob's site, I will eventually scan those so that you can look at them yourself. So I hope you enjoyed that. As usual, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and leave a question, ask a comment, check out the website changes, and thank you very much.